Hello, and welcome back to Surgery 101, the podcast brought to you with the help of the Department of Surgery at the University of Alberta. If you're listening to this podcast, hopefully you know where to find us, but you can get us at surgery101.org, also on iTunes, Medit Portal, and the Canadian Healthcare Education Commons. In this week's episode, we're talking orthopaedics again, and we'll be hearing from one of our PGY1 residents in orthopaedics, Dr. Troy Bourns. Troy's going to talk about hip fractures. He's going to tell us what the mechanism of hip fracture normally is and what the common risk factors are. He's going to talk about the anatomy of the proximal femur and how hip fractures are classified. Then he's going to tell us how to assess and manage the patient with a hip fracture. And lastly, he's going to consider outcomes of the treatment of hip fractures. So, let's get ready to get hip and groovy here on Surgery 101.
A hip fracture is a fracture of the proximal femur. Nearly 90% of hip fractures occur in individuals over the age of 50. They are second most common cause of hospital admission and a major source of morbidity and mortality in seniors. In this podcast, I will review the mechanism, risk factors, anatomy, classification, assessment, management, and prognosis of hip fractures in the elderly. Mechanism of fracture. The etiology of hip fractures is blunt trauma to the proximal femur or excessive loading of the hip joint by torso twisting or weight bearing on the limb after tripping. At least 90% of hip fractures in seniors are associated with falling from a standing height. Risk factors. The risk of hip fracture rises exponentially with age. Nearly 15% of women and 8% of men will have sustained a hip fracture by the age of 80. These rates double in those who reach the age of 90. Hip fractures are three times more likely to occur in females compared to males. Modifiable risk factors include those that decrease bone strength, such as osteoporosis and caffeine consumption. These make fracture more likely to occur following low-energy trauma, such as falling from a standing height. Other modifiable risk factors increase the likelihood of falling, and these include decreased strength, reduced activity, impaired vision, and altered cognition. There are acute medical events such as myocardial infarction, stroke, and syncope that also predispose to falls. Anatomy. The proximal femur is made of the femoral head, neck, greater trochanter, lesser trochanter, and the proximal femoral shaft. Each of these bony regions may be involved in a hip fracture. The hip's vascular anatomy is relevant to both the classification and management of fractures. While the pelvis and femur are well vascularized, regions within the proximal femur are more susceptible to ischemia after a fracture. The femoral head and most of the neck lie within the joint capsule and receive blood supply from vessels that ascend from more distal regions. When these intracapsular structures are fractured, vessels that feed the femoral head are severed, thus increasing the risk of avascular necrosis. This is less likely to occur with extracapsular fractures because these intravascular structures remain intact. Classification. The most important general distinction to make when classifying hip fractures involves determining if a given fracture is intracapsular or extracapsular, because of the increased risk of vascular compromise with these intracapsular fractures. Intracapsular fractures may be broken down into femoral head fractures and two types of femoral neck fractures. Subcapital fractures are those in the very proximal portion of the neck, while transcervical fractures are more distal. It is important to note that femoral head fractures result from high energy mechanisms such as motor vehicle accidents and may occur in both young and old patients. These are outside of the scope of this podcast. extracapsular fractures include fractures in the distal portion of the neck, called basis cervical fractures, fractures involving the trochanters, which are called intertrochanteric fractures, and then fractures occurring in the very proximal portion of the femoral shaft, called subtrochanteric fractures. Assessment. When assessing a patient with a potential hip fracture, a thorough history of the events leading up to injury and presenting symptoms should be elucidated. Most patients will complain of groin pain and will be unable to weight bear. It should be clarified whether the patient has sustained head or neck trauma. The physician should ask about past medical history related to an increased risk of fracture, such as osteoporosis or metastatic bone lesions, while paying close attention to medical comorbidities that should be optimized prior to surgical management. On physical examination, neurovascular status of the involved limb should be assessed. Inspection may yield a shortened, externally rotated lower extremity. Pain will limit the assessment of range of motion in these patients. Imaging is important to confirm the diagnosis of hip fracture. An AP X-ray of the pelvis and AP and lateral views of the involved hip should be performed to characterize the fracture. Imaging relevant to any other injuries sustained should also be performed. Management. Following hip fracture, pain should be controlled with analgesics. Medical optimization of comorbid conditions is crucial. As an example, fluid and electrolyte imbalances commonly occur, especially following delays between injury and hospitalization. Furthermore, acute medical conditions such as MI, stroke, and syncope may have precipitated a fall and led to hip fracture. These disorders should be ruled out as well, and if present, stabilized, with the exception of those rare patients with extremely high perioperative mortality. Surgical fixation is always indicated following this medical stabilization. This is because of the extremely high mortality, morbidity, and pain if hip fractures are left untreated. Intracapsular femoral neck fractures in the elderly require prosthetic replacement of the femoral head. The femoral head is not retained due to the high likelihood of fracture non-union and because AVN could result if open reduction and internal fixation were attempted. Furthermore, this procedure allows for immediate weight bearing, which decreases the risk of DVT and infection. The specific prosthesis inserted is surgeon dependent, but usually is in the form of a hemiarthroplasty, which is essentially half of a hip replacement. Extracapsular fractures are treated with open reduction and internal fixation. This is because these fractures do not predispose to AVN of the femoral head. Two types of implants can be used, including dynamic hip screws and cephalomedullary nails. Dynamic hip screws allow controlled dynamic sliding of the femoral head and neck component, which promotes bone repair through production of dynamic stresses. The sliding of the screw also allows for compression of the fracture fragments. In the cephalomedullary nail system, a nail through the shaft of the femur is fixed to one or two screws through the neck and into the head of the femur. Prognosis. Mortality following hip fracture is significantly higher in older individuals than younger individuals. By 1 month post-fracture, approximately 10% of elderly patients have died, and by 1 year, the death rate increases to greater than 30%. After 1 year, mortality is comparable to individuals without hip fracture. Only about one-third of the deaths are actually attributed to the hip fractures alone. Preoperative comorbidities that increase the likelihood of death include malignancy, cardiovascular disease, renal disease, and respiratory disease. Although these comorbidities are irreversible, they should be optimized prior to surgery. Postoperative complications that increase mortality include MI, renal failure, sepsis, respiratory issues, and pneumonia. These should be recognized early and treated accordingly. Of those seniors who survive hip fracture, many remain disabled with reduced level of ambulation and inability to perform activities of daily living. The use of postoperative clinical pathways may improve functional recovery and shorten hospital stays. Physiotherapy and occupational therapy have been associated with early ambulation and better functional recovery in hip fracture patients. Delayed surgery independently affects mortality and morbidity. Seniors operated upon within 24 to 48 hours have a reduced mortality and are less likely to develop major postoperative complications compared to those who have had later surgery. It is therefore essential to medically stabilize hip fracture patients and get them to the operating room as soon as possible to minimize undesirable outcomes. In summary, hip fractures occur mainly in the elderly and are a significant cause of morbidity and mortality. Patients with suspected hip fractures should be assessed in a timely fashion, be medically stabilized, and be sent to the operating room preferably within 1 to 2 days. Remember that the most important classification of hip fractures involves determining if fractures are intracapsular or extracapsular. Intracapsular fractures compromise the blood supply to the femoral head, therefore replacement of the femoral head is necessary in the operating room. Extracapsular fractures do not tend to cause AVN, therefore open reduction and internal fixation may be used for surgical management.
So ends another episode of Surgery 101. If you'd like to get in touch with us to request an episode or to give us some comments on previous episodes, please just email us at surgerypodcast@gmail.com or visit us at surgery101.org and leave us a comment. You can also get us on Twitter at Canadian Surgeon, and there's a Facebook group called Surgery 101. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to seeing you back here next week for another episode of Surgery 101.